This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Mission, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
This is a reading from the book of John. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It's good to be with you today. Today, our sermon is about the vine and the branches, and it is so timely because it's a glorious spring in Kansas City. It might be a little too soggy to go out and do the things that Jesus is talking about here today, but hopefully this week you can do them yourself, or you can watch someone else do some gardening if you aren't a gardener. In this passage, Jesus is using a metaphor of vines and vineyards. And this metaphor had been used to describe Israel for centuries. We heard it in the reading this morning. And in addition to that, this is one of Jesus's I am statements from the book of John. You know, he says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world." Last week we talked about, "I am the good shepherd." He uses these familiar but deeply meaningful imagery for the original listeners. And this familiar, ordinary stuff of life is what Jesus so often uses to make a point about God and about life in God's kingdom. He uses these earthy things, salt, light, seeds, lost coins, sheep, bread, yeast, vines, and branches. He uses these common, everyday things to teach us true things about God and about the way life in God's kingdom works. So today we're going to look at that metaphor that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches and our Father is our gardener. And I'd like to help us use our imagination as we think about this passage to develop a kind of holy curiosity as we engage Scripture and these words that Jesus said. Because Jesus is deliberate. He does things on purpose. He uses certain words and images on purpose. And when we are curious about why he uses them, and we let a particular word or image sit with it, and we wonder about it, the Scripture can come alive, and we can engage and experience Jesus in a simple but really profound way. So, today we have 3 points. You're welcome, Dean, 3 points. The gardener, the vine, and the branches. The gardener. Jesus tells us that our Father is a gardener. So the first thing that we can do with this ordinary image is to just imagine a gardener. Maybe you are a gardener, or your dad or grandmother. I like to imagine my granddad, Gary, and when I have a stubborn tomato plant that's not doing what I want it to do, I think, what would Granddad Gary do with this plant? Sometimes I imagine my favorite British gardener, Monty Don. Does someone knows Monty Don? Oh, man. Guys, he's the best. You all should discover and explore Monty Don a little bit. Sometimes I imagine our very own Jana Riddle. Many of you know Jana Riddle here. What would Jana do? How would she handle this new problem in this garden that I have. So imagine a gardener. And then to aid your imagination, just start to ask questions. What does a gardener do? What tools does a gardener use? How does a gardener behave in the garden? How does a gardener move about the garden? What is a gardener's attitude and feeling toward the garden as a whole, or to the individual plants? How does a good gardener feel when they are in their garden? These are the types of questions that can begin to peel back the layers of what Jesus means by "my Father is a gardener." And they can help us understand and enter into a deeper communion with him. So here are some of the things that come to my mind when I imagine a gardener. A gardener has a plan. She has an imagination for what the garden should be for the end result, and she works the garden in that way. She might move plants around. She might start training a plant or a vine to grow in a certain way. It also might mean that she makes hard decisions, like cutting back a plant that is choking out other plants, moving it, dividing it, pruning it. Sometimes she has to cut off large sections of a single shrub because of disease. And for that season, that shrub looks terrible. But drastic measures had to be taken to save the plant. Sometimes a storm comes through, and the gardener has to respond to broken branches or full sun in a spot that was once shady. And the gardener can adapt to these changes with the whole garden in mind and the individual plants, because she knows how things work together. She knows where the light falls. She knows what branches need to be cut and what needs to be left so that the plant can funnel its energy either to the roots or to the fruit and flowers, depending on the season. She knows what steps need to be taken for the health of the garden and the health of the individual plants. And Jesus says, "Our Father is a gardener." So as we imagine a gardener, can we say these same things about God? Yes. He sees what needs to be done for our health individually and our health as a worldwide church. He has an overarching plan. He has an end in mind. And that end is a garden or a people fully alive in God's kingdom, bearing fruit that blesses the whole world. And we can look at Galatians 5, and the Apostle Paul kind of talks about this fully alive kind of people, the end in mind. This is the famous fruit of the Spirit passage, but it's the Message version. So this is what Paul writes. "But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely." This is the vision of people fully alive, bearing fruit that can bless the whole world. We are like an orchard, and our Father is a gardener, and he will not let us alone. He will tend to us, and with his care and attention, we will naturally bear good fruit. And this God as a gardener image has been really helpful for me lately, especially this spring. When I find myself kind of getting spun up about life and what needs to be done and all the things that there are to worry about, I've started using this image to kind of preach to myself, to help me relax into the goodness of God. I do the same type of thing with Psalm 23. It's called like a breath prayer, where you inhale. For Psalm 23, you inhale, "The Lord is my shepherd," and exhale, "I have everything I need." And so I've started doing this with God is my gardener. God is my gardener. He won't leave me alone. God is my gardener. He will tend to my needs. God is my gardener. He will finish what he started. God is my gardener. He will cause me to bear good fruit. God is my gardener. He knows what he is doing. I am in God's garden. I will be all right. And I do this, like I said, when I'm worried. I also sometimes in the evening do this. We've been watching a lot of NBA games at my house because it's the playoffs, everybody. So a lot of times, just as we're watching NBA games, you don't even know I'm doing it. I just inhale. God is my gardener. I will be all right. It is just such a simple thing, but that exercise really does help me kind of settle into God, help me remain in him and experience his nearness, and I can relax and trust. Okay, God is our gardener. Point two, Jesus is the vine. So imagine a vine. Perhaps you are imagining a well-cultivated grapevine. Perhaps you are imagining the honeysuckle vine that grows on my neighbor's fence. And it chokes out all the things on my side of the fence. And it's a never-ending battle. I'll never win because the roots are on the other side of the fence and my neighbor is not a gardener. He's 25. It's okay. He doesn't have to be a gardener. But just imagine a vine. A vine can support so much life from its root system. It can go and go and go and go, and it's all connected to one strong stem. All the life, all the fruit, all the goodness comes from being connected to the vine and its root system. And when Jesus tells us that he is the vine and we are the branches, he's saying, stay connected to me. I am drawing all of my resources and nutrients and energy from the Father. And so when you draw your life and nutrients and energy from me, you are also drawing from the Father. You are in the Father, and I am in the Father. We are in the Father. Abide in me. Dwell in me. Live in me. Make your home in me. Remain in me, the true vine, so that you can draw from the very source of life. So whether we're a cultivated grapevine or an unruly honeysuckle, we must abide with Jesus. We must stay with him and draw our resources from him because he is the way to true life. And he is all tangled up with point three, the branches. They're very hard to separate. We are the branches. So imagine those branches. Imagine that grapevine. Imagine that honeysuckle vine. And the vine and the branches are very hard to separate. And I think that is Jesus' point. He wants to be all tangled up with us. He wants to be so closely identified with us that we are inseparable from him. Jesus wants to be so closely identified with us that we are inseparable from him. The closer a branch is to the vine, the more inseparable they become. The farther the branch is from the vine, the longer it takes the nutrients to reach that part of the vine or the branch, the longer, the more vulnerable it is to being torn off or to a pest or disease, or in the case of my neighbor's honeysuckle vine, to my pruning shears. So to be really healthy and to be able to bear good fruit, the branches must be close to the vine. And a gardener can ensure that the branches stay close to the vine and get their nutrients from the vine so that they can produce good fruit a few different ways. And one of those ways is to use a trellis or some sort of structure to help the vines grow in a certain way. Some branches are literally restrained. They're tied to the trellis so that they are forced to grow in a certain direction. And when we apply this image to our life as disciples, I think we can look at some of those spiritual disciplines as a trellis, a structure that helps us grow in the way that we ought to grow, not growing in on ourselves, but growing out, not getting tangled up where we don't belong, but going in the way we are to go. Things like Bible reading or a breath prayer, participating in Sunday worship, fasting, even attending a life group. All of those things help train us in the way we ought to go. And yes, they can feel forced and awkward a little bit at the start. But it might feel unnatural, but that is the way that the gardener trains us to grow as we ought to grow. It's the way that we can become fully alive and thrive right where we're planted, bearing lots of fruit. So let's just look at that passage from Galatians again. This is the kind of fruit that God is producing through us when we remain connected to Him. He brings gifts into our lives when we remain in Him. Much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard, things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. It sounds like a well-tended vine. A vine growing in the way that it should go, not inward, but outward, drawing strength from the roots and directing its energies toward the good fruit that it is bound to produce. The fruit that comes just simply by being connected to the vine in the care of a really good gardener. And another way that the gardener ensures that the branches are getting what they need is by pruning. A good gardener prunes her vines. She does not leave them alone. Because if she leaves those branches unchecked, they and to their own devices, they will get all tangled up where they're not supposed to be. They can become weak and useless, good for roasting marshmallows, but that's about it. An untended garden is a sad garden. But we are not an untended garden. Our Father is a good gardener, and His care and attention will cause us to bear good fruit. He will not let you alone. He will tend to you. He will tend to us. And sometimes His attention can feel like pruning shears. Even a cut that we know needs to be made still hurts. And sometimes He may prune a branch and we don't really understand why He pruned it. Sometimes it seems unnecessary or drastic. Sometimes He even prunes the actual fruit. But all of it works for good when it is done by a good gardener. And I do not mean to say that all our suffering is just God's pruning shears. That's too simplistic, and it is not what Paul means. The pruning shears are a necessary tool, and sometimes the gardener uses them to help a vulnerable plant that has been wounded by a storm or by the rabbits that like to eat everything. The pruning shears can protect that plant from getting infected or from further damage. Much like a surgeon's knife, pruning shears cut for the purpose of bringing more life. And in the hands of a good and skilled gardener, we do not need to be afraid. So to kind of aid our imagination here, I thought it would be helpful to look at a skilled gardener, Monty Don, doing some actual pruning. So a few months ago, it was at the dead of winter, and I was watching Monty Don talk about pruning his grapevines. He has this beautiful trellised vine that grows like half in and half out of a greenhouse, and so he was just taking us through step-by-step how he cares for it. So this is what it looks like after it's borne all its fruit in the winter. You can see all the vines drawing all the branches drawing their strength from that one vine. And then every spring, while it is still dormant, he cuts it back to the last two little nodes like that. So there's just these two little nodes, and he does that with every branch. And then as it grows, he opens up the greenhouse windows, and it starts to bear flowers. And where the fruit will eventually grow, he prunes it like this. So it's like a good-looking vine, and he is all up in there pruning stuff away. He's cutting off, to me, what seems like perfectly good things. But he is trying to help this vine produce the very best grapes that it can produce. And before I show the last slide, this is what he says will produce the very best grapes. So not a whole bunch of grapes, the most grapes that this vine can make, but this is how you help it to produce the very best grapes. He calls it dessert grapes. And I don't know if a grape is good enough to be called dessert, but I kind of want to try it. So this is what he does. So he, as the fruit actually begins to form, as there are the actual grapes, he gets out the hair trimming scissors, and he prunes the individual grapes like that. He prunes them so that not one is touching another. And as I was watching this, for fun, because this is how I relax, Dean walked into the room, and when Monty pulled out those hair trimming scissors, we were aghast, were we not? Aghast. Not because of the loss of fruit, but at the attention to detail and the time that it would take to do something like that. Who has time for that? Who has time to get that close to the grapes, to get all tangled up in the grapes, and to tend to individual grapes so that no grape is touching another, so that the very best fruit can be produced? Who has time for that? Friends, God has meticulous attention to the details in our lives and to who we are becoming. Not to harass us, but to be close to us. Monty is never closer to those grapes than when he is all up in there with those hair trimming scissors. That is what helps us to be fully alive in Jesus. His attention helps us to bear fruit that blesses the whole world around us. And what hope there is in that, that no matter how old or how young we are, or how far along we are, or how immature or mature we are, our Father is our gardener. So that when the storms come, because they will, and when the pruning shears come out, we can know that He will tend to us. He will not leave us alone. Our Father is our gardener. And we are in good hands in His garden. He never leaves us alone because Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and Jesus has grafted us into Himself, the one true vine. So before we close, there's just one last thing I think that we should look at. So that passage from John 15, the word remain is used, it's on two different slides, but it's used eight times. If I use a word eight times with my children, I really want them to pay attention to that word. And Jesus is the same way. He is deliberate. He does things on purpose. So when he repeats a word eight times, we would be wise to take a look. That word remain. In this passage, that Greek word, it has a few definitions. To abide, to stay, to tarry, to remain as one, to endure. But the one that I want to leave us with is this. Remain can also mean to be held, to be kept continually. To be held, to be kept continually. I think there is so much relief in those words. Yes, we have a part to play. We need to remain in Him, not wander off. We need to be obedient. Let Him train us in the way that we should go. But much of our work to remain is to just let Jesus love us exactly where we are. We are to be held, to be kept, to remain in Him. There is no better place to be. Because Jesus really is the true vine, and we are the branches in our Father's garden. And our Father is a good, good gardener. He will not leave us alone. He will tend to us, and he will keep us in his love, and the world will be better for it. Amen.